May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my soul find favor in your sight, my Lord, my God. Please be seated. When my children were young, I used to love this time of year, the end of school. It meant a time of freedom for me. To paraphrase Rex Harrison's signature song from My Fair Lady, I'm just an ordinary man. I became just an ordinary mom. When I had a break from all the hustle and bustle of running back and forth to school, homework, after school commitments, recitals, and so on and so on and so on. At one point, I would quote to the kids one of my favorite, what I would say was the mantra for the summer. The time has come, the walrus said, to speak of many things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings, and why the sea is boiling hot, and whether pigs have wings. The declaration of summer, yes, nothing important to do. Counting the weekends with planned activities to be free, to be you and me, but also to reconnect with my kids, sort of blocking out all the business and busyness of the world. We are in ordinary times, the times in between Pentecost and Advent, in times of rest where many take a break, even from church. Although I'm glad to see there's so many people here this Sunday. Awaiting a break from the waiting, the birth, the witness of signs and miracles, suffering through the drama of the passion, overcoming death on the cross to the glory of the resurrection, for Jesus to meet us on the road in the upper rooms, to ascend into heaven a second time, for the Holy Spirit, just a few weeks ago, to breathe new life into the church. Not a church of stone and glass, but in a new church of our souls and heart. And now we rest in these times to sit at the feet of Jesus, in these times when all around us is anything but ordinary. We take it down a notch or two in the next 27 Sundays after Pentecost, to Advent. Jesus sets us on the right path, upgrading our internal GPS, God's plan for service in our lives, for how we as a new church need to show up in this world. In today's gospel, we are at the hub. We are in the business. We are in Galilee in Capernaum. It is a hectic and busy time, a lot going on. And in the midst of it sits Matthew, a tax collector. Now, Matthew is one of his people. He's a Jew. But Matthew isn't very well liked because Matthew, as I said, is a tax collector, taking money from his poor people, from those suffering and oppressed, to give it to those who are oppressing them. There is no shame in his game. He does his work out in the open for all to see, exalted by some and disinherited by those who he is working for. And then comes Jesus. He looks at this lost sheep, this prodigal soul, and says to Matthew, "Follow me." He gets up and follows Jesus, leaving all behind, bringing Jesus into his heart, into his home. When Jesus is questioned by the everlasting, relentless keepers of the law, quoters of the book, the Pharisees, "Why are you with these sinners?" Jesus responds, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." With those who, in other words, Jesus is saying, "I did not come to sit with those who can quote scripture and drop names of our ancestors. I came to be with those who have compassion for the sick, the hungry, for those who have lost their way." Jesus says, "I have come here to heal those, to heal and have mercy, and for us to show mercy to one another." A concept very out of the ordinary in those times. And as Bishop Bundy reminded us, in these times, a forever call to mercy, especially for those discarded by those with hardened hearts. The gospel continues to say, as Jesus is speaking and explaining this to the crowds, the leader of the synagogue comes and kneels before them. Not a very ordinary act for the leader of the synagogue with the keepers of the house. He would have been well aware who this rebel rabbi was, cautious not to allow to get too close to him, keeping him a safe distance so he would not be confused with him just in case the powerful were looking on. But beyond appearance and status and possible trials, his world was crumbling, for his beloved daughter had died. And at that moment, he let go and let God lead him to the one who could save his child. And he believed that if Jesus just laid his hands on her, she would live. Jesus did not take a moment to ridicule, question, debate, convert the man. He just got up to go to his daughter, humbling oneself to ask for help, or generosity to give without limitations, conditions, or any agreements, unconditional love to be shown to your neighbor. Now comes what I call the hallelujah moment. I know this woman very well. En route to lay his hands to bring life back to the dying girl, a woman suffering for many years breaks through the crowd. She has been discarded and dismissed because of her illness, decided she was unclean and unkept. But in spite of that, she knows she just has to touch the hem of his garment. She doesn't have to talk to him. She doesn't have to pray with him. She doesn't have to have a counsel with him. She just needs to touch the hem of the robe that he is wearing, and she says, "I will be made well." I know that woman. "Take heart," he says. "The fact that your faith is so strong that you don't have to see me standing before you, that you don't have to touch me, you don't have to have me touch you or pray with you, you just believe so strong, your faith has made me whole." Her faith was anything out of the ordinary, that Jesus just had to speak, and the truth she already knew. "Your faith has made me well." That is the faith of a mustard seed, the faith that can move a mountain, the faith that can calm the storms and settle the seas. And then the crowd laughed. When he declared to the crowd, "The girl is not dead, only sleeping," they laughed. Now, Jesus could have been derailed, tempted to fall from grace, but he continued to do what he came to do, just ordinary acts of the Son of God. The gospel ends without saying what happens in the crowd after the girl lives, because that's not really important. The gospel tells us what is important. What we need to know is that what happened spread throughout the land. In that moment and in these moments, what spreads and what is necessary to know that all who have sinned in the presence of Jesus will find mercy. All who believe will find hope in the presence of Jesus. And all who have given up life will find life, new life, being breathed into them by Jesus. In these times, we have a moment to walk with Jesus, in these quieter times, to hear Jesus in a different way, to understand the Word of God as is meant to be understood. In the midst of everything in these times that push us into other directions, make us feel less, make us doubt more, make us more cynical. These are the times to be with Jesus. These are the times of our lives, the times of the Pentecost numbered Sundays, counting, ordering a new church, us being new as children of God. For all that is old has been sent away, behold, something new is happening. No longer restricted or limited by world powers, but freedom to be ready to do as we are meant to do. As we are ready to be called and to get up and to walk with Jesus, to walk fearlessly, audaciously, to trust the love of God, to break the chains of death, and to live a new life. Are we ready? With the breath of the Holy Spirit that is upon us and leading us, moving a ground level and lifting us beyond what we can even imagine. Are we ready to grow into who God created us to be in these times, to be better than we were yesterday? Let us step out new and free in the Spirit, the glorious Spirit of Pentecost, as children of God, not ordinary by any means, but extraordinary in these times as we were made to be. Amen.